Good morning. It is Kale and Company live right here on WKXL and htalkradio.com for a Monday. Great to have you along with us. And what a Monday it is going to be. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental with individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at deltadentalcoversme.com. Of course, it is a Patriots Day in Massachusetts as they commemorate the Battle of Lexington and Concord, the midnight ride of Paul Revere. You know, up until 1969, Patriots Day was always celebrated on the 19th of April. No matter what day of the week it fell on, the commemoration would always be on April 19th. But since 69, it has been on the Monday closest to April the 19th. So that would be today, April the 15th, Patriots Day in Massachusetts. Andrew Gibson, our producer, is here. Made some outstanding coffee again today. Takes care of all the details and the news and you name it. And Andrew, do you know how many states commemorate Patriots Day?
I feel like this is a trick question.
No, it's not really. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
I would assume all of them.
Well, I guess so. I got to clarify. Yeah, it is kind of a trick question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would assume all of them.
No, not all of them. There's actually only three states that commemorate Patriots Day.
So New Hampshire?
No, really? No, we don't. Everybody's working. We're working. Schools are open.
You mean observing it? I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually observe it, and it's a holiday.
I don't know. State holiday.
Three. Now, two, I guess you could say, Massachusetts is one, that, of course. Maine is another. The third one is kind of the trick question to the whole thing, and that is Wisconsin.
Interesting.
It is very interesting, and I have not been able to see I'm glad they do, but they celebrate it. They continue to celebrate it on the 19th.
Huh.
So Patriots Day will not be observed until the 19th of April in Wisconsin. So, I mean, if you're really ambitious, you could celebrate it twice. Once today in Maine or Massachusetts, and then you could go to Wisconsin and celebrate it there on Friday. It's kind of crazy. I grew up when I was the first, following baseball and following the Boston Marathon as a kid. Andrew, believe it or not, the Red Sox on Patriots Day used to play a split doubleheader, a morning-afternoon doubleheader. They would play one game at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that was almost always against the Yankees at that time. And then they would, it was a separate admission. You know, it wasn't one admission. They charged two admissions for this morning-afternoon doubleheader. So they would play one game at 10 in the morning, and then they would play another at 3 in the afternoon. And that gave people an opportunity to go to the finish line on Boylston Street. For those of you not familiar, it's not that far from Fenway Park, and see the elite runners come in like a little after 2 o'clock. And they started at noon from Hopkinton, and then a little after 2 o'clock they would come across the finish line at Boylston Street. And then, you know, if you wanted to go see your second game of the day, you could do that. Or maybe, you just come for the 3 o'clock game after watching the runners come across the finish line. So, there are all kinds of combinations that you could have. But now the Red Sox start at 11. They play one game at 11:10 specifically. And the runners, the elite runners, are starting from Hopkinton a little after 10 o'clock this morning, just a shade after 10 o'clock. So they will be crossing the finish line, the elite runners anyway, somewhere just a little bit after noontime. which is like right in the midst of the Red Sox game. So what I'm saying is to start at 11 o'clock doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Players don't like it. Most baseball players love to sleep in. And, you know, they're accustomed, you know, to more night games. Certainly not 11 o'clock in the morning. They're not accustomed to that. But the players don't like it. It's kind of an inconvenience for the fans in a way, but I guess it's a holiday in Massachusetts anyway, so what does it matter what time the game starts? But you can't do both. You can't see the elite runners across the finish line at Boylston Street in this scenario. And I don't know if the Red Sox have been alerted to the fact that now for the last 20 years the marathon starts earlier than it normally did. I don't know if the Red Sox have yet been alerted about that, but why they start at 11 is a mystery. Now, there are still, listen, you could see the whole game at Fenway. The runners are staggered. The elite runners leave a little after 10, and then they have four other departure times from Hopkinton for the runners. But to start at 11, you're not going to see the elite runners if you go to the game, unless you leave early or unless you show up late for the game. So it's kind of a quandary. And the Red Sox have to wake up to it. I know the 11 o'clock start is a tradition now, and it has been for a number of years. They haven't done the split doubleheader, I don't think, since 1969. That was a few years ago. but they have not woken up to the fact that the elite runners cross the finish line in the middle of the ball game. So if they're starting it for that reason at 11 o'clock to see the elite runners, it just doesn't work, folks. And it hasn't worked for years. Pet peeve of mine. I know probably very few people care about it, but it's a pet peeve of mine. I happened to be in the Marathon / Fenway area yesterday, not for any other purpose than to see a show at the Boston Conservatory Theater, which is very close to Fenway Park. And it's part of the Berklee College of Music campus in the Boston Conservatory Theater. First time I've ever been in that theater. Have you been in that theater, Andrew?
I have not.
It's very nice.
I've been to the Citizens Bank Opera House.
Yep. Yeah.
I've been to the BCS Plaza, but I've never been to the Conservatory.
The Conservatory, great theater. And I can't think of the name now, but Hereford Street, I believe, but whatever. It's very close to the Prudential Center and Fenway Park. And they had a performance, and they have been having performances for the last few weeks, of a musical called Something Rotten, which I saw on Broadway, I don't know, 6-7 years ago maybe, but whenever it was there. And only because my daughter wanted to go and to see her good friend Max Clayton, who was in the cast, the Broadway cast of Something Rotten. They both went to Central High School together, and she wanted to see Max in the show, and we saw the show, and it just blew me away. It blew me away. It's gone up the list as one of my favorite musicals of all time. It is right up there. And since that time that I saw it on Broadway, however many years ago it was, I've been wanting to see it again. And I finally found one in Boston. And yesterday was the last day you could possibly see it, unfortunately, because it was just a tremendous performance of this show by Berklee students. It was an unbelievable show, and I'm not going to go into all the details of the show, but it's kind of a Shakespeare parody, let's say. And Shakespeare is featured in the show. We're talking about the Bard, Shakespeare, William Shakespeare, right? And the star of the show yesterday was a gentleman by the name of Errol Service Jr. Errol Service Jr., a black man, a black student at Emerson, playing Shakespeare. Folks, he was absolutely incredible. Black Shakespeare, great voice, great diction. He was an acrobat. I mean, you owe it to yourself. Go on YouTube sometime today. Just play a couple of songs from Something Rotten. And they're there. Just look up Something Rotten on YouTube. Simple enough to find. And, boy, it's one of my favorite musicals. It might even be at the top of the list. As crazy as that might sound. We'll take a break, and then we'll check in with John Leahy, always at the top of my list. He'll be talking some hockey. Not necessarily good news over the weekend, but we'll talk it anyway. Right here, WKXL, NHShockRadio.com, Kale and Company, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. And we will be right back. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. And joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, from our nation's capital, the one, the only, John Leahy. John, good morning to you.
Ken, good morning to you. Happy Marathon Day.
Well, thank you very much. It's a lot of things. I mean, the Boston Marathon being run today. This is the 128th Boston Marathon. Like me, John Leahy, I don't think you've ever run the event.
No, I get winded driving 26 miles, much less walking.
Well, we mentioned that you were calling in this morning from a remote location in our nation's capital, and John is going to see the Bruins' penultimate game of the regular season tonight. Bruins and the Washington Capitals in downtown Washington, D.C., and Bruins coming off a win over Pittsburgh on Saturday night. But we're going to talk a little college hockey first, John, if you don't mind. And kind of a disappointing finish for the two Hockey East representatives at the Frozen Four.
Yeah. You know, I was really hoping and expecting that BC and BU would reach the final. But you got to tip your hat to the Denver Pioneers. To be able to hold the top two teams in college hockey to a combined one goal over two games is just amazing. And the goaltending performance by Denver's Matt Davis in the game Saturday night against Boston College was the stuff legends are made of. BC was down 2-0 after two periods, and they really showed a sense of urgency in that third period. They fired 23 shots at Matt Davis, and he stopped all of them. And some in spectacular fashion. So some NHL team is going to be very happy to pick him up.
I would guess.
But, you know, it was just a tremendous performance by Denver. You got to take your hats off to them. And BU got off to an early start in the game, the semifinal game on Thursday, but that's all they were able to get. Denver was able to shut down the Hobie Baker winner, Macklin Celebrini, and Boston College was shut out for the first time all year. So a hard-fought, well-earned win for the Denver Pioneers.
Yep, absolutely so. So congratulations to them. And unfortunately, the NCAA championship will not rest in Hockey East for the coming year. So and plus, you know, both of these teams, Boston College and Boston University, are going to be losing several of their key components.
Yeah, Macklin Celebrini for sure will be gone. And the San Jose Sharks right now have the best chance of picking up the number one pick in the upcoming draft. The Sharks, I believe, have a 25.5% chance of getting that first pick. So Macklin Celebrini played some of his hockey in the Bay Area, so there's a chance he could be returning. And, of course, Cutter Gauthier from Boston College just signed a three-year deal with the Anaheim Ducks, and so he'll be gone, and I anticipate there may be a few others. So I think BC will lose some significant talent. We'll see how that shakes out for next year.
Yeah, absolutely so. But one thing we do know, John, is that Hockey East will still be one of, if not the premier conferences in college hockey, because they have been. They sent two teams to the Frozen Four this year. One of them made it to the championship game in Boston College. But it's got to be disappointing, because for most of this season, in the polls, John, as you well know, certainly better than me, that BC was considered to be the top team in college hockey.
Yeah, there's no reason not to think that. When you take a look at Boston College's winning streak, I mean, they had 15 consecutive wins coming into the championship game, and BC, there's really no weak link on that team. You know, they're very deep offensively. Jacob Fowler, who was a Montreal Canadiens draft pick, proved that he was one of the top goalies in the country. In fact, I'm shocked that he didn't win the Richter Award. No disrespect to Wisconsin's Kyle McClellan, but I thought Fowler was the best goaltender this year from wire to wire. Of course, BC has also had a very deep D-core led by Eamon Powell, who's going to be a future Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman. So, yeah, it's hard to find anything amiss about BC, but kudos to Denver. They were able to shut down the Eagles for the first time this year.
Yep, absolutely so. So the goaltender's name again was Matt Davis?
For Denver, yeah.
Yeah, for Denver, yeah. Stoning Boston College at every turn on Saturday night. And so he is his rights there, they're not owned by anyone right now?
Not to my knowledge. No. I think he's a free agent at the moment, but that performance on Saturday will certainly open some
I am certain of that. No question about that. So congratulations to the Pioneers of the University of Denver and their victory over Boston College on Saturday night. Kind of a disappointment for not only fans of the Eagles, but fans of Hockey East as well, who would like to see the championship reside in Hockey East for a year. But it just didn't work out this time around. But John, you're in our nation's capital right now, and I mentioned that you're going to see the Bruins play the Capitals tonight.
Yeah, when I was planning this trip, I had a thought that I would check the Washington Capitals schedules just to see if they were home while I was here. And to my surprise, the Boston Bruins are the visitors tonight down here in Washington. So I'm headed over to the game tonight. I have never been to the Capitals' new arena. I used to see the Caps at the old Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland when it was here, but I'm getting a chance to see the new arena tonight, so I'm looking forward to that. And I have a seat near the press box, so perhaps I'll see some luminaries walking in and out of there.
Oh, there you go. You might. There was some talk a while ago, not too long ago, that the Caps and the Wizards were both going to be moving out of that facility and going to suburban Virginia, but they didn't get exactly what they wanted in their deal with Virginia, with Alexandria, Virginia. And so they are going to be staying for the foreseeable future anyway, the Caps and the Wizards in the Capital One Arena.
Yeah, in fact, I'm staying in Alexandria, Virginia for the better part of the week.
Ah, nice.
So, I'm having a chance to take a look at the town a little bit, learn a little bit about it, and busy week planned, but great way to kick it off with the Bruins and the Caps tonight, and hopefully the Bruins can build on that 6-4 win in Pittsburgh on Saturday.
Absolutely. Any open mic gigs in Alexandria?
No. nothing of that nature. The music that I'll be involved with will be mostly with family at the end of the week, so that will be a nice respite for me, and I'm also planning on heading down to Savannah, Georgia,
yep,
on this trip as well. So it's going to be a busy week, but I'm looking forward to a little R&R.
Exactly. So what's in Savannah, John?
Well, I have some family down there that I'm going to be visiting, and that's all I'm at liberty to say. That it's a surprise visit, so I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't want to divulge too much, but I'll be heading down there on Sunday of next week, so that should be a fun time.
Outstanding. But for the most part, you're going to be in the Alexandria area, and that is a beautiful area of Virginia, especially the downtown portion of Alexandria.
Yeah, no, I've never been to Alexandria before, so I'm looking forward to seeing what that has to offer. I plan on hitting Baltimore tomorrow, the Inner Harbor, which is always a fun trip. And we'll see what the rest of the week has in terms of plans.
Any ball games in Baltimore this week?
I believe there are, because the Nationals are on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I looked to see if the Nationals were in town, but I believe the Orioles are. But something tells me that Orioles tickets are somewhat hard to come by.
They may be. I mean, they're playing great baseball right now, as Red Sox fans know for sure. And, they are hot. And I'll tell you what, I know the Yankees are in first place right now in the American League East, but you got to look out for those O's, no question.
Yeah, it's been kind of an up-and-down season for the Red Sox, hasn't it? They had that fine West Coast trip, winning 7 out of 10, and then things kind of hit the skids when they got home, losing their first four, and then they beat the Angels last two. So, they finished up the homestand with Cleveland, so it's been kind of an up-and-down roller coaster for the local team.
Yeah, it has been, and Patriots Day game today, always special at 11:10 in the morning, and coinciding, of course, with the Boston Marathon, the 128th running of the Boston Marathon. So it's a big day in Boston, but it's also a big night in Washington, next to last game of the regular season for the Bees, and still a meaningful one.
Yeah, indeed. The Bruins wrapping up the regular season, final road game of the year tonight. Hopefully the Bees can put together a solid effort. They'll finish with Ottawa at the Garden tomorrow. And it's time for the postseason for both the Bees and the Bees.
So, well, John, you have a great time in Alexandria, Washington, Baltimore, Savannah. Boy, oh boy, you're getting around, John.
Well, I've been working hard, so I figured I owed myself this trip.
You do. And have fun, and we will check in again in a couple of weeks, and we'll get a full report.
All right, Ken. I look forward to it. Have a great day. Thank you.
All right, John. Thanks. Safe travels. John Leahy, our Hockey East guru right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We will return right after these words. We are presented by our good friends at Northeast Delta Dental. Stand by for more. Welcome back. It is Kale and Company Live right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Patriots Day in Massachusetts, and of course, one Boston Day as well, which commemorates the 11th anniversary of the marathon bombings. And what a horrific time that was at the finish line of the Boston Marathon 11 years ago to the day. So we'll all be thinking about those that we lost on that day back 11 years ago. This is the 128th running of the Boston Marathon. Youngest participant in the race is 16. The oldest is 85 years old. Now, I'm a little bit younger than that. I cannot imagine. I mean, I don't know who this individual is, who the 85-year-old person is that is running the race. But, Andrew, can you imagine that, being 85 years old and running over 26 miles?
I can't imagine being 86 years old and, like, getting out of bed functionally in the morning, let alone running that kind of distance. So that's impressive.
I can't imagine. 85 years old and participating 26 miles and 385 yards from Hopkinton to Boston. 126 countries are represented. I was walking around with Kitty Ray yesterday in the marathon finish area near the Prudential Center on Boylston Street in Boston. And it was packed. It was shoulder to shoulder on Boylston Street. The Boylston Street was shut down, and it was only foot traffic on Boylston Street, and the place was packed. And sporting goods chain Dick's opened their new facility over the weekend, and man, is that impressive. I mean, that's going to become one of the big tourist attractions, I think, in Boston. Dick's Sporting Goods, believe it or not. huge, huge facility right there at the Prudential Center. 29,451 runners, almost 30,000 runners will be competing today in the Boston Marathon, starting from Hopkinton. Some divisions have already started. The elite runners go off just a little after 10. And we want to wish the best to Ellen Raphael, who is going to be running Boston starting at 10:45 this morning. So we wish the best to Ellen Raphael, who will be starting today from Hopkinton. And she figures that it's going to take her almost 4 hours to cross the finish line today from Hopkinton to Boston. And she has run any number of marathons in the past. But I think marathon people who have done many will tell you that Boston is right up there and may be the toughest. May be the toughest marathon to compete in, because one of the big reasons is it's hilly and bumpy at the start. And then you have Heartbreak Hill, which I believe is in Newton, before they cross the finish line. And it's a grueling course. It is a grueling course. Now, today, I heard a couple of the weather forecasts this morning, there may be a tailwind today. And it would seem to me, and I'm no runner, believe me, but it would seem to me that this would be a nice, pleasant day to run. If you're going to do it, I think the kind of weather that's going to be here in New Hampshire and the Boston area today would be good for marathon runners. But what do I know? I've never run one. But at any rate, it's a great event in Boston. Brings a lot of people from many different countries together. And it's really a great time to be in Boston. It's crowded, but fans get out for this, and it's just a great day. Really and truly is. And it's also, not only is it One Boston Day, it's Patriots Day, it's Tax Day, it's Jackie Robinson Day. And you know, Andrew, what happened on this date back in 1912?
What was that?
Fenway Park opened on this date in 1912. 1912! Can you believe that?
Wow.
I mean, that's 112 years ago. And it's the oldest park in the major leagues, quite obviously. Wrigley Field is second, I believe. And in third place, believe it or not, is Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. But certainly Fenway is the oldest. And it was also on that very same date, believe it or not, Andrew, the same date that Fenway Park opened was the sinking of the Titanic.
Oh.
Same day.
That's right. Yeah, 1912. Yeah, wow.
Same day, same year. And the Titanic sank about 370 miles or so southeast of Newfoundland. Many of those who perished that day, 1,500 people lost their lives in the sinking of the Titanic. And many of those people are buried in Nova Scotia. Had a chance to visit that cemetery a couple of years ago. And it was very moving to see the gravestones there of those who those that were lost in the Titanic. Back in 1912, the same day that Fenway Park opened, and those two events coincided. So that was quite a day. But and it just so ironic that those two events would happen. But you know, stranger things have happened, I guess. This is also, as we mentioned, Tax Day. Better have your taxes paid. buy today or else, you know, you'll be penalized, folks, if you don't get your taxes in on time. I drove by the Concord location of H&R Block last night around 9 o'clock. Lights were still on. Lights were still on at H&R Block a little after 9 o'clock last night. I was telling Andrew before the show that I was in New York over the weekend. It was a whirlwind weekend, folks, for me and I'm sure for many others. But started the weekend, of course, here on Friday with those great Brothers Donuts that Tom brought in. And then made our way down to Connecticut to see Tower of Power at Foxwoods. And they were incredible, as usual. Oh, my God, I can't get enough of Tower of Power. I've seen them, I would estimate, at least 12 times. But I was wearing a Tower of Power t-shirt at Foxwoods and walked into the men's room. And a guy yells out to me, "Hey, you going to the show?" And I said, "Yeah, you?" He said, "This makes his 94th time," he said, 94th time that he's seen Tower of Power. They've been around long enough where you could actually see them very easily 94 times if you followed them since their start 56 years ago. But they're still around and still playing some great soul funk music. They only really had a couple of commercial hits that people would know. But for those who follow Tower of Power and have bought their music and have seen their concerts over the years, you know what a repertoire that they have. But most people just know So Very Hard to Go and You're Still a Young Man, which are great songs, don't get me wrong. But Tower of Power has some other songs. Folks, get up and dance. Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's an experience to see Tower of Power. Still with two original members and several others who have been with the group for a long, long time. All right, we'll take a break on a Monday morning. Kale and Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Hey, I'll tell you who I ran into yesterday while heading into Boston right after these words. Kale and Company continues right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Welcome back. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. So I took the subway yesterday, the orange line, from Sullivan Square into Boston, into the Back Bay Station, so we could get out and walk around the Marathon area on a nice Sunday. A little bit windy, but other than that, very nice Sunday afternoon. And who do I spot on the subway platform but our very own Slim from the Sports Machine. Slim was there with his two kids and taking them to their first Celtics game. What an experience. What an experience. And they were excited about it. And Slim was excited about it, probably even more so than the kids. But I remember the first game that I went to at Fenway Park, but it was in a different era, of course. But, you know, I grew up on black and white TV. When you go to Fenway for the first time, as I did in 1962, when you walk into the grandstand area from the ramp, you know, on the concourse, you walk up the ramp, see all the green out there. It was just, it took my breath away. I mean, I was 8 or 9 years old at the time. Eight. And saw all the green monster, the green grass. You know, you used to see it in black and white. Whole different story. And I'm sure Slim's children were excited yesterday because the Celtics won. Peyton Pritchard, 38 points for Peyton Pritchard yesterday. Career high. And even though the six players considered to be six best players on the Celtics didn't play yesterday, Celtics won and beat Washington by 10 points. But the biggest thing that took place yesterday was the Celtics honoring Mike Gorman, their longtime television broadcaster. And Mike has been there for 43 years. And the Celtics honored him yesterday at halftime. Co-owner Steve Pagliuca and Wick Rosebeck gifted Mike Gorman, how about this for a gift? A Rolex. You ever see what Rolex goes for? A Rolex watch? Certainly out of my price range, that is for sure. Out of many people's price ranges. They gave him a Rolex, specialized piece of a garden parquet floor, championship banner in an extended halftime ceremony in front of Gorman's friends and family. And the team also unveiled the Mike Gorman broadcast table for the first time, which will pay tribute to the longtime voice of the Celtics. And he also spoke with his color analyst for the last few years, Brian Scalabrine, during the celebration, where he reflected on his time calling Celtics games, his partnership with Tommy Heinsohn, which lasted many, many years, and his appreciation just for Boston itself. Gorman's final words of his halftime speech implored this year's team to win it all heading into the postseason. Celtics have not won a championship since 2008, and they are poised to make a great run this year, hopefully. I go all the way. Mike Gorman grew up in Dorchester, began his broadcasting career after serving in the Navy. As we said, 43 years as the TV voice of the Celtics since 1981, the longest tenure as a play-by-play voice for a Boston pro sports team. His partnership with the late Tommy Heinsohn was also the longest broadcast duo in TV history for a team. How about that? Longest duo ever for a broadcast team. Well, we mentioned some of the things that were being commemorated today. I don't think I told you. Do you know what else? Andrew, this is a big day. All kinds of things being commemorated today.
Yeah?
And in fact, we have a valued, maybe our most valued staff member.
Oh, yes.
Is celebrating a birthday today.
That is true.
I think we might have alluded to this on Friday, but we'll mention it again because today's the day. As our very own general manager, Catherine Cat Martinez, is celebrating a birthday.
That is true.
Yes, and she'll be turning. Never mind that.
No, let's not cross that threshold.
No, we won't go down that road. But happy birthday to Cat. I think she's taking the day off today. Is that
she
true?
She is not in the office today, and I don't know if she will hear this, but happy birthday.
I hope she doesn't hear it now. I hope she's still sleeping.
I hope so too. Yeah. She needs it.
But you know, she can also hear it during our rebroadcast at 7 o'clock tonight. Hope she's up by then. Anyway, but it's income tax day, and you know what else it is, Andrew? You know what else it is? It's McDonald's Day. McDonald's Day. You know why? Because the first McDonald's opened today in Des Plaines, Illinois.
The original location?
The original location. Oh. Now, you know, the idea was generated in California, the McDonald's brothers from Bedford, by the way, from New Hampshire,
yep.
They sold out to Ray Kroc, who was a milkshake machine salesman.
That's correct.
And then Kroc opened the first what we think of today as McDonald's, with the 15-cent burgers at the time and 12-cent French fries and dime sodas. It's true. Back in 1955. and Des Plaines. That's the way you pronounce it. It's not Des Plaines. It's Des Plaines, Illinois, 1955. So 69 years of McDonald's. I wonder if they have any specials.
Not sure.
Boy, I have to look into that. But my favorite has always been the Filet-O-Fish sandwich.
A lot of people like the Filet-O-Fish.
Do you like it? You're not big on it.
Yeah, when I think I like seafood. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I think McDonald's, I don't think of Filet-O-Fish. I think either like a Big Mac or the Quarter Pounder, or even just a simple, like their double cheeseburgers.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I mean, they've been around a long time. You know what I found that I really enjoy? I shouldn't have too many of these, but the mocha frappes that they have there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, a lot of people sleep on their coffee. Their coffee is very, very good.
It is. It really is.
And it's cheap and it's good.
But it's not as good as yours. It's not as good as yours, Andrew Gibson. Not as good as yours. I mean, it is. And, I know they used to sell Newman's coffee there. I don't know if they still do.
I don't know if they do. I think it's just all McCafe now. Yeah. But it's still good.
Yeah. It is very good. Yes, I will agree. And my mother, who was my late mother, who was a coffee aficionado, loved the McDonald's coffee. So, great coffee and great mocha frappe. So happy birthday, happy 69th birthday to McDonald's. So there you go. Birthdays, other than that, Ellen Raphael running the marathon on her birthday today. Ellen's running the marathon starting at 10:45 this morning from Hopkinton, Massachusetts, on her birthday. What a way to celebrate for Ellen Raphael. And we'll hear how it all worked out with Tom this Friday on the Friday Fun Bunch. And among celebrities, Chris Stapleton celebrating a birthday. In fact, he was the musical entertainment on Saturday Night Live this past weekend. It was in a couple of these sketches that they do on Saturday Night Live. Chris Stapleton is 46 years old today. So in the news, the FBI has opened a criminal investigation into the Francis Scott Key bridge collapse in Baltimore. The Associated Press has confirmed that from a source. The probe, first reported by the Washington Post, centers on the 985-foot container ship, the Dolly, looking at least in part into whether the crew left the port of Baltimore knowing the vessel had serious system problems. Authorities are looking into the events leading up to the moment the ship lost power before slamming into one of the bridge's support pillars, the Post reported, citing two U.S. officials familiar with the matter. In a statement to Fox News Digital, the FBI confirmed the Bureau is present aboard the cargo ship Dolly, conducting court-authorized law enforcement activity. So the FBI is investigating possible criminal activity aboard that cargo ship. And there is no other public information available, and they will have no further comment, the FBI has added. All right, so there you have it. That is this edition of Kale and Company Live. We shall return tomorrow for more terrific excitement here on the radio WKXL. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. And remember, folks, to always look on the bright side of life. And have a happy Patriots Day, everybody.